when YouTube really, really wants to push live streaming and they flick that switch and live streams just start getting recommended as people are browsing YouTube, they have the user base to just absolutely destroy Twitch. I don't see how Twitch can compete, because people are already on YouTube, like, watching an unreal amount of gaming content. Welcome back to the Gaming Careers Podcast. I think we're now at episode 12, and we have had a couple of weeks off because, interestingly enough, both Ben and I, completely uncoordinated, decided to move house over the last 2 weeks, which has worked out very well for our schedule. We only needed to take 2 weeks off, and now we can continue throughout, you know, 2021. But we've both moved into new studios. Mine looks very similar. Yours looks kind of similar as well. Have we just moved into a different room in our house, or have you actually moved, you know, some distance?
Yeah, I moved like an hour or so. I promise it's not the same room with black walls. You might be confused looking at it at first, but it is different. And I'll probably move again next year. Just every year, just move to a new color room. You never know what'll happen.
No, I think it looks really sweet. I was really tempted to do dark walls as well in my studio, because although you can't see in this shot, because I've floodlit it with bright blue lights in the manic panic I had about 20 minutes before this podcast with the mess behind me. I had like toolboxes, I had like screws loose and everything. I did repaint this room because it was purple. It used to be a bedroom, and you just couldn't control much lighting with purple, so I've painted it really boring gray, which is like what they recommend video editors and filmmakers paint their rooms, because it's like a neutral color and you can shine lights on walls and it will do a pretty good job of reflecting that. But yeah, I was really tempted by dark, because I think I'm just hoping it's not a fad. That was my thing about dark. I was like, it looks really cool on YouTube, you know, Peter McKinnon does it, has these like super dark backgrounds, makes himself really separated. But I just couldn't, I didn't have the balls to do it, basically. I was like, I'm going to regret this in 1 year's time, so I'm just going to paint it a really boring color.
I mean, it is tricky because you can kind of get lost in the background. Like, if I wear a black shirt, I just disappear from here, and you can see my guitars are kind of just gone. So I have to work on the lighting, but overall, I like it. I didn't paint it, though. I would not have painted this room. It just came this way, and I didn't feel like repainting it, so.
We haven't done a very good job here of appealing to our podcast listeners rather than our viewers. We're just describing our new studios. It's not that exciting. Well, certainly from my point of view, I probably will be doing a video of my new studio, but it's pretty much the same as the old one. I've invested in some like sound paneling and things like that, because obviously doing a podcast more often. But people don't care about that. They want to hear about what's been going on for the past 2 weeks. Well, I guess it's the 3 weeks of news, really, since the last time we recorded a podcast. And quite a lot has gone on. We still actually haven't had the Twitch Town Hall. I thought for sure that was going to fall in the time that we were taking off and we'd have loads to discuss. But that actually, we record these on Tuesday, release them on Wednesday, and that is actually happening tomorrow on Wednesday. So what have you seen in the news over the past couple of weeks? Where do you want to start?
There's a lot. There's a mix of a couple big things and a lot of small things, especially for updates for platforms. I think probably in our tradition of starting with DMCA, we should probably talk about the biggest piece here.
Let's keep it going.
Yep. Each week, it's our DMCA podcast here. The biggest thing to talk about, I think, is the fact that there is a chance that DMCA violations become felonies, at least in the U.S., because the U.S. Senate is trying to push this through, and that has, understandably, a lot of people concerned about what that means for the future of DMCA. So I don't know if you saw this, but basically, it would just add making DMCA strikes a felony. So that could lead to jail time in the future. And it's unclear whether this will get pushed through. It sounded like it could go through as soon as this Friday, potentially, if it gets passed. But obviously, it would be a lot more concern for people. So did you get a chance to see this?
Yeah, so I did. I didn't dive massively into it. And obviously, US law is kind of a scary unknown for a lot of people based across here in Europe, because it kind of dictates a lot of the internet. Firstly, a couple of questions, and I understand if you don't know the answers to these, but this surely is DMCA wide. It's not just Twitch. This is talking about YouTube, Facebook, wherever you could upload technically copyright infringing material could lead to jail time. But the main thing that I saw was people looking into the sponsors of this Senate, and like, it's all the big players in the music industry and in the broadcasting industry, really.
Surprise, surprise, the music industry wants to lobby for this bill because that means they make more money. So, or at least make it more of a threat to not use that copyright music. So, it makes sense. That's just how politics go. And I didn't want to get too political here with this, but I don't even think it's that political, really, because it is such a like a copyright issue, just regardless of which line you fall on in the U.S. And again, it would just be a huge concern because I think we've seen a lot of people are already deleting all their VODs and things like that just as a precaution. But if there's the added chance of jail time and things like that in the future, then it's all gone. Like, I'm not taking any chance. I'm getting rid of everything. I know that I've had some clips that I've tried to save that have music on them that are attached because they're just very nostalgic or they're from years ago. I don't want to delete that. Like, if this goes through, I'm getting rid of everything. I'm not using hardly any music on stream because I don't want to take that chance. So hopefully it doesn't come to that. We don't know if it'll pass, but yeah, it's definitely a lot more real if this goes through.
I mean, it's been something that we've been harping on about for a while now is that people should be, you know, really thinking about the music that they're using in their live streams and in their VODs and uploading. And it's been the discussion of this podcast. That's why we keep making the joke that it's all about DMCA. But this really does take it to the next level. And I don't know what they would be suggesting, if it would be something along the strike system of DMCA. So, you know, if you hit three strikes and you're showing no sign of slowing down, then maybe you could be faced with jail time. But I can't see it going through, but crazier things have happened. It would just be absolutely mad, I think, for especially a small streamer, somebody broadcasting to like five people, to be taken to jail for playing a song in the background. But at the same time, you know, if somebody streams to 100,000 people and, you know, an album just gets released and they stream it and there's no royalties going through to the artist that made that record, like, it completely depends where your sympathies lie. I think it's mad to think that we've been talking about jail time, but maybe, you know, something as serious that as that needs to come out for streamers to start taking this seriously.
Yeah, I mean, that's the unfortunate truth. It's the type of thing where I guess technically it makes sense. They have the right to do that. I mean, you are still violating the law with the copyright law, and it's just a matter of raising the punishment or lowering the leniency, I guess, for that kind of thing. So again, while legally they have the right, it's one of those things where morally there's some concern about doing that for just a copyright strike. And again, there's a lot of, you know, your cases for actually violating copyright can vary from just a small stream to like a massive infringement. So there's some gray area there, but yeah, hopefully, I hope this doesn't go through. I know there's a lot of other bills going through the US right now with COVID and everything, so I'm hoping this doesn't get lost in kind of the weeds of everything else going on and this somehow goes through, but we'll have to wait and see what happens there, I guess.
I imagine this whole DMCA thing is going to be a massive topic talked about at the town hall tomorrow. So we're probably going to be talking about it again next week, or at least Twitch's stance on it, and hopefully we'll have a little bit more information about what's happened in the Senate, if it is this week that it's coming up. But yeah, scary stuff, but we don't really know too much about it at the moment. The obvious takeaway is use music that you have licenses to stream, you know, copyright free music. I've made enough videos on it, there's enough info out there, there's enough places where you can get music now that you can legally use on stream. So just stop streaming with the top 100 hits from
yes, please,
the pop charts or whatever it is. Okay, so what outside of that, I saw there was quite a lot of Twitch updates actually, and it probably makes sense to bundle these all together and talk a little bit about each of them, because again, these are things that they could have definitely announced at GlitchCon. They decided not to, and they've just sort of slowly rolled them out over the past 2 weeks. Why don't we start with the Boost This Streamer channel points option. Can you describe that for people that haven't heard of it or know what it's about?
Yeah, sure. So this is probably, I think there's like five updates to Twitch this week, and this is the one I'm personally most excited for, although I still don't think it's huge. So this is a feature where you'll be able to use your channel points in a given channel at certain times. They haven't really explained exactly when you'll get this option, but occasionally you get the option as a streamer for your viewers to pull their points and then promote you on the front page if you hit a certain goal. So I don't know what the goal is either. I think it scales with your channel. So if you have a smaller channel, it'll be a lower point amount. And if it's a bigger channel, a bigger point amount. If they hit that goal, you'll show up on the homepage of Twitch, I think right underneath the main video area in the top. And it'll be that new promoted area that's reserved for that feature. So theoretically, it'll rotate between channels as they get the option. It's a pretty cool feature, but there's some concerns about it in terms of like how often can you actually realistically get access to this? Does this mostly benefit existing streamers? That was a concern at first, is that like, well, if you need a certain number of points, then you would need an established channel to get those points, right? But it sounds like they're going to scale it to the channel, so that's good to hear. I think it's cool. It's definitely discoverability in a sense, but the problem is it's still not something you can really rely on the channel, and it just sort of, you get the option seemingly randomly. So that was my initial impression. What do you think about that?
It really depends on how they implement this, because we hear every year how many streamers are streaming to Twitch. Like it's such a huge number now that this possibly can't be something that happens every single week for your stream. You know, that option can't be coming up for everybody once a week. So it's going to have to be heavy rotated. But to me, I would have thought Twitch was going to go the like YouTube route of everyone having a unique homepage and it not being this like global state where everybody has the same recommended streamers on the homepage. I would have thought if you're logged in, you're going to get streamers that are really targeted to you, the games that you like, the kind of personalities that you like. And in that case, then it makes a lot more sense because you probably can boost streamers to certain people on a much more frequent basis than you can if you had like a global front page where there's only five spots every hour and you have basically millions of people now streaming to Twitch. So I just don't know how they would do that. I think it's a really cool idea though. And to be honest, I didn't mind the hype train that they introduced like earlier this year, this way of your community coming together to like work on a goal to help the streamer. Like I didn't mind it. I think it has its own problems, but this is like an extra step to that where they can actually help you become more popular if they use their channel points, which is completely free for them. They've just been watching you earning channel points and then this option comes up. The streamer gets notified of the option coming up so they can say, hey guys, if you have any channel points, it would be awesome if you could click on the boost this streamer option to try and get me onto the front page. Like I think it's cool, but we can't really talk that much about it until we see it in action and really understand how it works and, you know, how often it's going to be coming up for you as a streamer. And I totally get the complaints about it's only going to boost like bigger streamers. And from Twitch's point of view, obviously they can't be suggesting people with zero viewers to the homepage. Like it's a big risk for them as well. They probably want to be boosting affiliates or at least people that have signed a contract. So hopefully they're not going to, you know, all of a sudden switch to broadcasting that's something that they shouldn't and it'll be on Twitch's homepage.
Yeah, I do like the idea a lot. I think it's cool that it's interactive to, like, the viewers can actually influence how the channel gets promoted. I think that's pretty cool. But like you said, it's still kind of vague because we don't know how often you'll actually get the option and whether it's just one or two spots for the entirety of Twitch that are going to rotate. So you're going to very rarely actually get the option to use this. So we'll have to wait and see. But I love the idea of making it more interactive. I like that they're doing more stuff with channel points across the board. We had the predictions thing a week or two ago. So I hope they keep doing that. And the more they can like let the viewers actually influence how Twitch displays, I think that's a pretty cool way to do discoverability. You just have to make it more accessible to more people, basically.
I'd be interested to know how much like click through those videos underneath the top carousel actually get. Because I've been fortunate in the UK to have been in the top carousel. When I did my like charity marathon live stream, I contacted Twitch and they sorted me out with like front page time in the UK. It was like super early because I was running a marathon for that. And like, it was crazy. I basically hadn't streamed for like 5 years. And then all of a sudden I was getting like 2,000 to 3,000 viewers for this marathon live stream. But that's on the carousel. And back then the carousel used to autoplay. So I was one of five spots. So one in five chance that I was going to autoplay. And if people were like, oh my God, this guy's running a marathon on Twitch, I'm going to stay and watch, then maybe that's a part of why I got quite high viewership. But those videos below where you actually have to click through to them, I'd be interested to know like how much traffic they get. And again, like is it also talking about these unique homepages, is the country pages, like every country has a different homepage right now for Twitch. Like I have a different five people here in the UK if I go on Twitch right now than you do in your carousel in the US. So is it going to be, you know, worldwide? Is it going to be promoting streamers to their local regions? Like there's so many questions. I think it's a cool idea, but we just have to see how it ends up getting implemented.
Yeah, I totally agree. And to your point on how much people click on those videos, I do think that's probably one of the higher clicked areas of Twitch because it seems like it's like the homepage and then the directory and then the channel pages and they kind of ignore the other areas. I have seen in my own stream and streams I've worked on, people do seem like they're clicking more on like the recommended area on the homepage and suggested for you, that sort of thing. But I agree, it's probably not as much as that main carousel or just other areas. So again, we'll have to kind of see as we go on how much people are engaging with this area and hopefully they can do more cool areas on the homepage. But there were a couple other updates to Twitch as well, so I want to talk about those as well. There was another cool one they announced around scheduling on Twitch. So if you've set up your schedule on Twitch under your about area, which I think we've talked about, it's kind of hard to find, they're now going to start showing your viewers and followers who is starting soon on Twitch. So if you're going to be starting in the next hour or so, according to your schedule, or half an hour, it'll now show you on your following page streams that are starting soon in the next half hour, or I don't know exactly what the time frame is, but basically you can see what's coming up soon. And that kind of plays in with the iOS update too we talked about, where you can see the scheduling on the widgets. So I think it's a really cool feature, actually. I hope that people use it and will look at what's coming up, and hopefully that'll help with Twitch's issues as well, of people kind of clicking off the platform after a stream ends, and they can kind of plan out their day of, okay, this streamer's at this time, this streamer's the next time. But we'll have to kind of see. I haven't seen it live yet. Have you seen much about this?
I've just basically seen, yeah, exactly what you have seen as well. I haven't seen it live, but we talked a couple of weeks ago, like you mentioned, about the iOS widgets update, where you could basically see like a timeline of when the streamers that you're following are going to be live, so you can sort of plan out your day of watching Twitch. So that's their dream, right? You sit in your pajamas all day and you just watch Twitch after Twitch after Twitch, and they make all the ad revenue. And this is a cool update to that. Like, there's been a lot of discussion over the past 6 months about streamers having starting soon scenes, right? And the whole purpose is that you send out your live notification, people start to gather whilst they're watching this starting soon scene, and then you swap and you start 10 minutes later. And this would kind of nullify that, because people that do follow you will already know that you're starting soon because they're getting a notification, or they're seeing it on their following page that this streamer is about to start. And it's Twitch trying to cement this idea of a schedule. It's like a great thing. It makes their jobs way easier if they can start to work out which streamers to push onto the front page because they stick to a schedule.
I totally agree. I think they're really trying to push schedules this year, because they talked about it at the keynote for GlitchCon, and how just having a schedule supposedly will increase your viewership across the board. But now they're actually giving you incentives for having a schedule, because they have this. And then one of the other new features this week is they're adding reminders for upcoming streams. So you can set a reminder for a scheduled stream as an event, and then you'll get that notification, one that's coming up, I think half an hour either before or after your scheduled start time. It'll send out a notification when you start your event. So that's pretty cool. I thought they had this before. Maybe they removed it with the update to the platform. But still, I like that they have both of these features kind of incentivizing the schedule. And I hope that also on the viewer side, that'll kind of help make that more of an expectation for viewers. And they'll kind of get the habit of, okay, there's a schedule for most streaming. That's a very normal thing. What is this guy's schedule? When can I come back each week? Because I don't think we're quite there yet. And I hope they can keep reinforcing the idea of a schedule for broadcasters.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And like you said, right now the schedule is kind of hard to find, but the more features that they tie to it, hopefully the more streamers start using it, and then the easier it ends up being to find. And like you said a couple of weeks ago, I hope that they move that iOS widgets feature into some kind of desktop view, or Android view as well, so more people can benefit from seeing when their favorite streamers are going live. But it's definitely, all these updates are beneficial for you as a streamer, because they're helping you basically, or helping your audience, find out when you're live and hopefully tune in from the very start, which is obviously something that you want from a streamer's point of view. A couple more little updates from Twitch. They announced that Hype Train's coming to mobile. I've talked about this in the past, that I don't like how they roll out features in this really staggered approach where it goes desktop first and then like sometimes a year later it comes to mobile. This one didn't take too long. I think Hype Train's were probably about 6 months ago, but helping people use their bits and subscriptions to get different levels on Hype Trains, that's coming to mobile. I haven't clicked through to that, but I hope that is for both iOS and Android, because they do have a bit of a habit of releasing straight to iOS first and then forgetting about all those lovely Android users. Maybe that's a little backstab at Google for owning YouTube. I don't know.
Yeah, it's both, thankfully. So it is both iOS and Android. As an Android user, I am sad though about the widgets. So I hope that comes soon, and anything else that we're missing on the Android side. There was one little small update too, which is, I don't even know if it's worth talking about, but they added a new bar to your chat. So if you go into a chat, you might see a red bar across it that says new, and it basically will just show you old messages if you're a mod, which used to be a problem if you were jumping between browsers or between mobile and actually, I don't know if it's on mobile yet, speaking of mobile parity issues. But basically, if you're reloading tabs and going back and forth, you'd lose the chat history. So now you'll have that as a moderator, which is pretty cool. And while I don't think any of these updates are huge in and of themselves, it's good to see that there's a bunch of updates coming out at once. And so that makes me a little excited for Twitch. I know it's been a lot of negativity and disappointment over the last couple months with Twitch. So at least there are some new features coming. I think personally what I'm most excited about is the boost the streamer channel point feature, if they can deliver it correctly. So we'll have to see. The rest of them are cool, but that's the one that has me the most excited. Would you agree? Or is there a different one that stands out?
I think so. I think the boost the streamer is the most exciting, but it completely depends on implementation, like we said many times. One thing I do want to point out is these like small little refinements that they're making. It's a good sign from a viewer and a streamer's point of view. It shows that Twitch has several different departments and developers working on different things, and a lot of that is refining the experience and making small improvements, which is a good thing, rather than just working on big features and forgetting about old archaic stuff. They've actually made so many updates, I feel, for moderators in the past year. They've like really made the moderator experience much better. And that's probably a sign of these big channels getting bigger and bigger and needing moderators for those channels, needing more tools. But yeah, I think that's a pretty cool update, being able to jump into a stream and see the past hour, because maybe you don't catch the start and you're just modding for a friend. And you just want to be able to help them out. Or maybe they message you saying, can I have some help? And you jump in and you see, you want to be able to see why they needed help by scrolling up for an hour. But yeah, I think a good handful of updates from Twitch, and excited to see how the Boost the Streamer one goes about. What else have we got from the past couple of weeks? So one of the things that I saw, I tweeted about as well, was the fact that YouTube is now a diamond level or premier level. I can't remember what the levels are for OBS, but YouTube is now is giving a lot of money to OBS Studio, the developers behind OBS Studio, every month to help support the development with no real incentive or ties. You know, OBS doesn't have to do anything specifically for YouTube, but that then completes the trifecta. There is YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook are all this premier level sponsor for OBS Studio.
Yeah, I think that's really cool, just because now you're hitting all three major platforms, like you said, are all supporting this. It's kind of the gold standard of streaming, so it's cool to see them kind of support that. I think it makes sense, because the better OBS is, the more people that should be streaming to their platforms, especially if it's easy to get started and going. I know it's funny, because Twitch even has their own studio at this point, but they're still sponsoring OBS, and I think it's just because it's so established in the space that it makes sense to kind of put your seal of approval on it as a brand. So that's pretty cool to see, and I know that it's already leading to some new features in OBS. I think I was just looking a couple hours ago, Twitch announced a new feature with like VOD audio muting related to OBS. It was something that OBS had developed alongside Twitch, so maybe we'll see more specific platform features from Facebook and YouTube with this funding as well. Be kind of interesting to see what they do, but yeah, I mean, OBS is great, so I'm glad they're finally getting support, because I don't think many streamers are probably giving the support to OBS for, you know, keeping them funded. So it's cool to see the platform stepping up and doing that for the streamers, essentially.
Yeah, I actually, back when this podcast used to be a bit more of an interview show, I interviewed Hugh Bailey, Jim, who is the lead developer, the guy that started OBS Studio, the guy that pretty much contributes by far the most to the code base. There is now a few more full-time members, but he is the guy behind OBS Studio. And we spoke about this, and he said that he would love if more people supported the software, because then he could have more of these people that are currently developing for it as a hobby, bring them on full time and have some kind of bounty program where like the more code you contribute, the more changes you make, the more money you earn, and then they can be full time developers. Because it is just unreal that we get that software for free. It really is. The amount of money that top streamers are making and using OBS Studio, like it's absolutely crazy that it's free. And he mentioned in that interview, I'll definitely link it down in the show notes, that he'd had seven-figure offers to buy OBS Studio and he turned them down. So like, this is the guy you want behind building this software.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, you think about how established OBS is. Like, if OBS wasn't here, I guess you'd use XSplit, but it would just totally change the landscape of streaming. So I totally understand too that people probably aren't supporting OBS just because the nature of the internet. So I do think it's cool to see the platform support them, because without OBS, I think YouTube, Facebook would be totally pretty much out of options. At least Twitch has their studio, but even that, it cannot honestly compare to OBS and just how far ahead it is with how long it's been running. So yeah, super cool to see that. And I hope they keep getting support, because I know there's still a lot more they could do probably in terms of making it super easy for new streamers to start streaming. And just adding new cool features like we saw today with Twitch and other platforms. So that's awesome to see.
And at the end of the day, it's probably significant money, but it's a drop in the ocean for these companies like YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch, considering how many people are using that application to stream. And I think just to clear up the confusion, because there is constant confusion, Streamlabs OBS is a fork of OBS Studio. It's 90% probably the same code base. So people saying that Streamlabs OBS could be the differentiator would be just, it wouldn't exist in the same state as it is today because it's a fork of ABS Studio. So yeah, really cool, I think, to see YouTube joining Facebook and Twitch as premier sponsors. And, you know, obviously it is going to change the mindset a little bit of the developers, making sure that they're supporting like YouTube's HDR. I think they've announced that they're supporting that now, so you can stream with high dynamic range. But there is absolutely no like contractual agreement where they have to develop a certain number of features. They're just supporting it because they like the software and they want to see it continue to grow. So I think that's really cool.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it just benefits everyone on the platform too. If you have an easy software like that, that's free to download and has years and years of resources and guides for people to set up, then I think you have to support that. Because again, without OBS, like, what does YouTube do for the streaming side? I guess you can go to XSplit, but there's nothing quite like having a free software to make it really easy for new streamers to get going and just jump in. So I think that's crucial, and it just makes sense from the platform side to support that.
The one thing I will say about OBS and these streaming softwares, I think there will be a massive push for these platforms to build streaming ability into their browser. So like, we always already see a few applications doing this, like Oslo is Streamlabs is one, and Go Lightstream, and these like ways of being able to stream from your browser. And they're not great for like game capture and things like that, but for simple like webcam podcast shows, like things like that, they're absolutely perfect. And I wouldn't be surprised if YouTube, you know, had an option where you go live and you just choose to do it from your browser and add your webcam in. Like, that wouldn't surprise me. That's basically what you do if you go live from your phone anyway. So wouldn't surprise me, but like for the more serious users, the people that want all the customizations, probably the people that are listening to this show, OBS Studio, Streamlabs OBS, they're going to be the applications that people want to use. Speaking of YouTube, there was a couple of updates, but probably the biggest news that they released in the past couple of weeks was that YouTube gaming specifically hit 100 billion watched hours in 2020. So this isn't just live streams. In fact, it's probably not even majority live streams. It's majority VOD content. But the size of gaming on YouTube is staggering to think about. Like, it must be their biggest niche category now.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to think of a bigger one, maybe like Beauty or something. I don't know. Gaming's just so huge at this point with how many established creators there are that have kind of broken out. And just because you have the benefit of not only the live streaming, but also the video on YouTube, it's massive. And I don't think that's going to slow down anytime soon. 100 billion is crazy, though, for watch time hours. I think it's super cool to see. And it's just more of a testament to why YouTube, you know, Twitch has sort of been the king of the live streaming area. But if you look at just gaming as a whole, YouTube's just sort of on another level with having you stick on the platform and just keep watching gaming content, any content. YouTube's great at doing that, but especially gaming with how many creators are there. So it's kind of crazy to see them hit that number. And I kind of wonder what the next year will look like if that keeps ramping up. Especially, I'm sure with COVID and everything, it definitely helped the numbers. That was true of every live streaming site with Twitch and Facebook and everything else as well. But I'm sure YouTube, especially just being the king of video, like there's no one you can compete with on video. And so for gaming, that's even more true. And I think that'll probably keep rising as we go.
Some of the stats that they released in this announcement is that in 2020, 80,000 creators have hit 100,000 subscribers. And then over 1,000 creators have hit 5 million subscribers. This is specifically within gaming, sorry. And then finally, 350 creators have crossed 10 million subscribers in gaming in 2020, which is just like, I still have the like old mindset in my head in YouTube of like 10 million subscribers, like there's only like 5 people over 10 million subscribers. But 350 gaming YouTube creators crossed 10 million subscribers this year. So there must be over 1,000 people over 10 million subscribers now. Like, it's absolutely unbelievable how big YouTube is. And I've said this so many times before, but when YouTube really, really wants to push live streaming and they flick that switch and live streams just start getting recommended as people are browsing YouTube, they have the user base to just absolutely destroy Twitch. I don't see how Twitch can compete, because people are already on YouTube, like watching an unreal amount of gaming content. As soon as live streams start getting suggested, like, you know, to new users or anything like that, then the viewership is just going to be absolutely bonkers, I think.
Yeah, and I think they're already kind of on the way there. I mean, there's a lot of huge streamers that have blown up this year on just in streaming as a whole. I think Valkyrae won. One thing we forgot to talk about too is the Game Awards that happened. Valkyrae won the Streamer of the Year, and that was YouTube streamer. So I think that'll keep happening. every time I hear complaints about YouTube streaming, it's things like, oh, the UI isn't quite the best for chat and things like that. Like, those are super easy to fix for just a UI, a fresh coat of paint. It's much harder to fix the discoverability issue or just problems with getting viewers in and things like that, which I never hear people complain about when they're on YouTube. So if they can fix the other things and just make it a great experience for people watching the platform, that feels like just a really easy win. And I think we'll see them do that even more and more over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, people's major complaints about YouTube for as a live streaming platform is like it doesn't have the Franca face emotes or like, and to be honest, I do agree that the chat experience is way better on Twitch, but like, these are things that YouTube can fix relatively easily. Like, there's probably a lot of emotes that are, you know, Twitch only, and they probably have like some lawsuit ready for when YouTube tries to implement them. But if YouTube can, and they obviously can, like, implement their own cool emotes system, then like that and the UI, and then it's just such a better experience. I actually was thinking about this the other day. How can you not pause a live stream on Twitch still? Like, the fact that's one of the best things about watching a YouTube live stream is, like, I quite often watch a lot of podcasts that are live on YouTube, and like, if I need to go and answer the door, I can just pause it. Like, I don't miss that 1 minute like I would if I was watching a Twitch live stream and then have to wait 2 hours for the VOD to process just to catch up on that 1 minute. You can just pause it, or you can go back 10 seconds to hear what they said again. Like, it's such a cool feature that's been there from the start, I feel like, for YouTube live streaming. And maybe Twitch just doesn't prioritize that as a feature. Maybe there's such a small number of users that actually want to do that. But I honestly do feel that in the next few years, we're going to really see how big of an onslaught YouTube can have in the live streaming space.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, they're hitting video on every side. Now they have the live streaming, they have the classic YouTube videos, they have the short form clips, I think they're called. I don't know what they're called.
The story. Instagram story version.
Yeah. They've got all three. And I think there was this notion for a while that you couldn't do both video and live streaming very well on the same platform. But YouTube is slowly kind of chipping away at that. And I think even Facebook is too, where it feels like Twitch has had this, for whatever reason, they've not wanted to support video content on their platform. Like, it's just about live streaming, and that's their core. And I think that has worked, but it's also a huge issue as to why people don't stay on the platform. And discoverability is an issue because you can only watch live people, and then finding them is a whole ordeal. And YouTube is slowly doing both things pretty well. So I think they're kind of proving that you can do live streaming and video and make it cohesive and not confusing. And I hope they keep doing that more and more, because the more they can support video of every kind, just the better for creators, because they can hit all those different areas at once now.
And you've just got to, like, one last mention on this, because we weren't meant to be talking about this. We're meant to just talk about the 100 billion watch hours. But the fact that Google owns YouTube and Amazon owns Twitch, like, again, it's so much easier for people searching on Google. They can put live streams into those results when they're ready, when they think it's useful. But like, Amazon, I just don't understand. Amazon can't convert people shopping on Amazon to Twitch stream viewers that easily, unless you're looking at a specific product that somebody is using or something. I don't know. I honestly, I'm struggling to make the connection. Whereas Google, people are searching for anything. So if you can live stream anything, then they can just suggest a live stream. I don't know. To me, there's so many reasons to go with YouTube, but it probably deserves its own video and its own podcast. And I probably need way more experience of actually streaming to YouTube so I can get across some more of the complaints and like things that people are struggling with. But yeah, we went on a little semi rant there, but it's quite a lot of good news this week. I'm looking through the list of things, and it seems weird that we're not complaining about too much this week.
Yeah, not too much. There was a little frustration with Nintendo this week, I will say, because they have been shutting down soundtracks on YouTube, and just across the board, they've been shutting down things, as Nintendo does, unfortunately. They also shut down, there was a big Melee tournament that was supposed to happen, and that was going to be live streamed, and that got shut down, so there's been the whole Save Melee movement happening. I'm kind of like a closet Melee nerd, so I've been following this stuff. But yeah, hopefully, Nintendo's had a history, unfortunately, of doing this, and just blocking unofficial events, and copywriting overly so, I would say, on YouTube with soundtracks and any use of their IP, basically, for just your natural creators. I think even like Donkey had issues with this in the past with his videos. So not great to see, but all things considered, it's not as bad as some of the things we've talked about in the past weeks.
Did you catch the new documentary?
Yeah.
man. So I have never played this game in my life. Like, and I only got interested in it because of that documentary that was like 5 years ago. You're gonna have to remind me of the names of these two. The new one's called Metagame, but it's been in development for like 5, 6, 7 years. So I've never played this game, but the old documentary made me so interested that I watched the whole thing, and I was like, this is such a cool like little scene that people have hand built basically with no support from the developers. And then this new documentary came out this weekend just gone, and it was live streamed to Twitch. And man, it's just so interesting. Like, I've never played it. I would absolutely suck at it because I've never played any fighting games, but I can't bring myself to not watch the documentary because I just find the whole thing so interesting.
I've been watching it too. I think it's cool that it all got live streamed. It was actually interesting. They live streamed the entire documentary on Twitch, and you couldn't watch the VODs for a while. You had to just be there right for the event, which is kind of cool on the whole streaming side in itself. But yeah, the documentary is really great if you guys are into fighting games at all, or just like stories, cool stories about games.
I would say if you're interested in at all in esports, because like that's the bit that pulls me in. Like, it's fighting games, and I've never played them, but they have this unique perspective, kind of like boxing does in the real world, where it's two people, one against the other, and the better person wins. Like, there's no team play. You can't blame your teammates or anything else. It's literally one versus one, and you can smack talk all you want, but the better person wins. And that's what makes boxing so appealing to watch, is because there's months leading up to it of smack talk, and you're like, well, I actually do want to tune in and see, you know, who knocks who out. And it's kind of the same in the fighting game community. And I can't call myself a fan because I have literally never played any of these fighting games, but these two documentaries for me are both so interesting to watch. So I would say anybody that's interested in esports in even the tiniest ways, both of these documentaries are like incredibly cool to watch, to see like this homegrown scene where they built their own tournaments and these like superstars rise up from Europe and from America, and they fight like a few times a year. They come to events to fight. It's so cool. I love things like that, and I'm glad to see that documentary like did pretty well on Twitch, and hopefully it does well on YouTube when the VODs go up.
Yeah, there were a lot of mixed opinions from streamers, I think. Like, the actual people in the documentary were covering it and had mixed feelings on it. But I thought it was just super cool. So, while I'm also not an actual Melee player, I play the other Smash Bros. Series quite a bit. It's just super cool to follow. I know we're kind of on a tangent right now, but I think Melee is probably, like, the best game in terms of stories to follow, because it's just, like you said, a one-on-one, and it's all grassroots, and it just kind of... it's like built into the gaming culture because it was completely done by us and not by Nintendo. Anyway, super cool. So go check that out. Metagame is the new documentary that just came out.
Yeah, we'll definitely link to it. Again, taking a tangent, but I don't mind that. I don't mind us just talking about like things that we didn't plan to talk about, because like you said, I had no idea that you were interested in that. And I don't think anybody had any idea that I was interested enough to watch that. And it's well worth a watch. If it's long, though. That is one thing.
Yes.
This is like what to do if you haven't got anything to do all day and you just want to sit in bed. Because I think the new documentary was like 8 episodes that were an hour each or something. Like, it's a real investment.
I'm on like episode 6 and I've still got hours to watch. So I'm working through it. But I, you know, trying to find time can be tricky.
This is what I was doing. I was like watching it whilst installing sound panels on my walls and stuff like that. I was like, I'm going to be in this room for 8 hours anyway. Why not just watch this documentary?
That's awesome. Yeah, great, good series. If you need something to watch over the quarantine or over the holiday break.
Okay, so what else do we have? We also had news of Facebook Gaming launching a $10 million Black Gaming Creator Program. And I didn't catch too much on this, but it looks to me that they've announced this program for Black creators where they can get effectively have some sponsorship money from Facebook to help them with their live streams. Did you catch this?
Yeah, this was interesting. I mean, obviously, I think it's a super cool initiative. I was trying to sort of get into the weeds into what exactly they're offering and what that breaks down to. It seems like looking through the blog post, they talked about it says opportunity to grow their communities and build businesses with access to funding, mentorship opportunity, and other resources. For those admitted, Facebook can offer Black creators into partners. So I guess it kind of fast tracks partner, which is kind of cool too. So I'm still kind of unclear on exactly what you're getting. I guess the mentorship opportunity sounds cool. I don't know what that'll break down to be, but very cool initiative to see coming from Facebook, and we'll have to kind of see how it rolls out in the future. And obviously that's a huge investment to make in this with $200 million. So hopefully they can do a lot of cool things with this program. I still don't know a ton about Facebook streaming. Have you spent a lot of time here?
I think that's somewhere where we're falling short, isn't it? Maybe we're all sleeping on Facebook, and actually Facebook is going to be like even bigger than YouTube, who knows. But yeah, I think it's a cool initiative. I know that I caught like earlier on in the year that they were doing something similar for black owned businesses and organizations. They were like supporting them with some financial packages through helping them with advertising on Facebook and Instagram and things like that. So it's clearly something that's come down from high up at Facebook, and they're putting, you know, money behind issues that they really see on the platform. So definitely a good thing. And you know, if you qualify and you're interested in streaming about on Facebook, I would definitely recommend hitting the link up in the description and learning a bit more.
Yeah, I'm reading through as we're going through here. I just saw this line that said it will offer guaranteed monthly pay. So again, super vague on like what is the pay level and what does that mean. But if they're actually offering a paycheck basically to stream on the platform as a black creator, that's pretty interesting. So we'll have to see what the details are there, but that's super cool to see if they want to push people into that direction for Facebook gaming.
Definitely. I wonder if that's going to force any response from Twitch or YouTube. Depends how big of an issue I guess it is on places like that. But again, more money coming into the live streaming space from these three companies, I think that's always going to lead to good experiences for the streamers and the viewers behind it. Anything else that we've missed from this week? I'm looking through our list and just making sure that we caught up on most of the big things. I guess the console launches, we didn't really catch either of them in our 2 week break, did we? They probably came out just after we finished recording the last episode. We did mention, I think both of us said that we weren't really console gamers since moving to PC. Like, I've never been a console gamer, if I'm being honest. I've been on PC gamers since about 8 years old. But yeah, I think the launches were pretty successful, really. But I've seen good PR from both people that have owned PS5 and the new Xbox as well.
Yep. I think the biggest thing is people trying to actually get their hands on the systems, because they've been impossible to get.
It's all this new tech that people want that they haven't made enough of it. Like, the graphics cards is exactly the same. I've had a few like real life friends messaging me being like, oh, I want to get a new graphics card for Christmas or like over the holidays. What would you recommend? I'm like, well, you want to get a 30 series card, but you can't. Like, over here in the UK, you just can't get them at the moment. They're gone within 30 seconds of being added to any of the websites. And I'm hearing it's the same in the US.
Yeah, same thing here. And so it's funny, whether you're on PC or console, you can't get the new thing that you want this year because it's all gone. So like, my brother is an Xbox gamer and he has been trying for a month to get one, and it just has no luck with the Series X. So we're all in this drought right now of technology if you're looking for a new setup upgrade. But I agree, it was a good launch overall. It seems like people are pretty happy with the systems, besides there was the whole Xbox smoke thing you might have seen, which was fake anyway. I haven't seen a whole lot about streaming from these new consoles yet. I don't know if you've taken a look at that at all. I don't know if it really improves. I talked about before, I would love to see them improve the experience and capabilities on some of these consoles for streaming.
I've seen some of the big streamers using them in their streams, but that's through a capture card and through their PC anyway, so like, not really what we're talking about. I haven't specifically gone out and hunted any people streaming directly from the console and seeing if there's any real improvements there. But like I said, yeah, I hope there is, because there's a massive market to capitalize on.
I do. So as I'm thinking through new stuff, there was the Game Awards happened and Cyberpunk happened over the last 2 weeks. There was one bit I forgot to add on here about Cyberpunk, which you might have seen, because we talked about they had the streamer mode that they built into the game, essentially. Did you see that they actually missed some of the songs in the streamer mode? And so people...
Yeah, like the worst case scenario, right? You announced this really cool feature that nobody's expecting, but is perfectly timed for the fact that, you know, DMCA is this massive topic that everyone's talking about. And then you like, you don't get it right. You like miss two songs or something like that. And then everybody that's been streaming with this streamer music mode enabled, thinking that they're safe, now then has to delete their VODs, and it's like, oh, you were so close.
I had that exact experience, because I streamed it for 4 hours on the official Legion channel last week, and then right after the broadcast ended, I saw that tweet and they said, hey guys, turns out we missed a couple songs. So yeah, that VOD is gone, unfortunately, for those 4 hours, which is really sucky. And I hope they fixed it by now, because it was just removing a couple tracks from the game, I would guess. But hopefully they can get it right with future games like this. But it just kind of proves how hard it is to make sure you're getting everything. Because I'm sure they tested this and just missed a couple songs that were getting picked up by the DMCA system.
When we first announced this feature, must have been a couple of podcasts ago, we were saying, like, is this something that they've built in over the past 10 years? Like, they thought ahead and built this from the start. Like, this is proof that they built this at the last minute.
Yes.
They've missed two songs. They were literally like, 2 weeks till launch, we need to make it all copyright free or copyright safe mode. And then they'd missed a couple of songs off. I in my head, I'm imagining like an intern was tasked with this. Like, you go through the 50 songs that we have and make sure that the 25 that we have licenses for get in this track, and then the other 25 go in this one. And this guy or girl like misses two and has been fired.
Well, sadly, that's like a running theme with the game. From what I've seen, there's a lot of bugs and people think it's unfinished. So maybe the streamer mode was unfinished too, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I saw a few memes of people being like, I wish they'd delayed it for one more year. Because it's just not ready. But yeah, I definitely need to get some time on that. I've just been too busy building things. But yeah, we did miss both of those two things. So I'm glad you managed to think of them on the fly.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything else from the Game Awards that I can think of. Obviously, a lot of new games and a lot of new stuff to stream coming out soon. It's not like directly streaming news, though, besides Streamer of the Year, which was Valkyrie. That was pretty cool and I think pretty well-deserved. Anything else that you saw that was on the streaming side? I can't think of anything, but...
I don't think so. No, I think that pretty much wraps it up this week. A bit of a difficult one for us to organize because we've added like 3 weeks worth of news into one episode, which makes sense when it's on like Twitch updates, but it makes it a little bit harder to work out exactly what we want to talk about. But we'll be back to going pretty much weekly, I think. Maybe a break over the Christmas holidays, just depending on where we are, because hopefully I'll be able to go back to see my family, COVID pending. But we'll work things out and obviously always let you know. But yeah, it's good to be back. Good to see you in your new studio, which just looks epic already. And I'm here like just having to floodlight mine with blue just to make it look even vaguely like a streamer's room.
You got some time. This one's just hastily put together, so I'm excited to see what yours ends up looking like once you've had some more time to unpack all the boxes and everything.
The biggest upgrade for me has been the internet. Like, I finally now have it's called gigabit. It's not true symmetrical gigabit yet. That's the dream of having like 1 gig upload, and then I can just upload videos to YouTube in like 2 minutes. But it's as good as we get in the UK right now, like gigabit down and 100 meg up. And the line is capable of gigabit both ways. It's just when they add the package and start charging for it. So yeah, very happy. But yeah, good to see you're well and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, plenty of news coming in the coming weeks. We're definitely going to be discussing the Twitch Town Hall in depth. I hope it's not similar to their GlitchCon event where they skirt around some topics and talk about how it's the greatest year on Twitch for music, but hopefully they actually answer some questions and we have some things to talk about from there. And other than that, I think that's all we have time for. So thanks again for listening. Thanks, Ben, as always, for joining me, and we'll catch you next week.